We have Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Makhda Sahib from Madrasa Talimuddin. They have embarked on a program, I think it's every 2 months, on some topic they will come out with, inshallah. Today's topic is on adab, respect and adab. There's a common saying, ba adab ba nasib, be adab be nasib. Those who stay with respect, live with respect, and make respect of the elders and our environment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with unlimited knowledge. And people then, Allah ta'ala puts in their hearts respect. People will respect them from throughout the world. And we know what happens, how much of disgrace comes to those who have disrespect. So we make dua, Allah ta'ala, give us the qadr and respect of our ulama, our mashayikh, and our elders, our parents, our senior people, make their khidmat, take their du'as. It is nice to see all the young ulama taking up courage. Allah Ta'ala give long life, good health to our Mu'ana and bless him in his knowledge, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama-i-kiram, huffaz-i-kiram, and elders and brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is the desire of every person that in his life, he wishes to stand out. He is desirous that his personality shines out. The motor car that he drives in shines out. His family and children shine out. And people look at him with respect and izzat in society. Whatever he puts his hand upon should turn to gold. Honor and reverence should be his lot. It is the desire of every person. In our circles, for our understanding, the car that a person is driving in, if he finds that there is a certain scratch, a certain mark on the car, now we find he becomes restless, he becomes betrayed. Till he does not sort that out, then we find that restlessness remains in him, and the feeling and the thought overcomes him, that what will people say? How will people respond to this? So and so person, a person of position, well-known, renowned, and now he's driving with a car that has a scratch mark on it. So automatically we find that he's not happy, he is desirous that his car also stands out. He desires that his car also shines out. Similarly we find his children go to school, he's always looking forward for good results. He hopes, he desires, he wishes to see that in the end of the year, in the examinations, his children also, they stand out. If the house isn't painted, then we find again that's another problem. What will people say? How will people look at me? What will be the response of the people? So we find again, he desires that his house also shines out and stands out. Respected friends and elders, if the scratch remains on the car will still move. There will be no difference as far as the objectives of the car is concerned. As far as the purpose of the car will still move. It will take him from point A to point B. If his home is not painted, it will still fill the purpose. It will fulfill the purpose of a home. He will be able to live in that home, and there would not be any deficiency as far as staying is concerned. If his children perhaps didn't do very well in the examination, life will continue. Perhaps there could be a second chance for them to do better. So we find, respected friends and elders, when the shine of the car, the shine in a person's children, the shine on a person's house doesn't remain, the question is, so what? It doesn't cause any difference to the man's life. But in the same breath, in the same token, we should ask ourselves, what if the shine of the sun goes away? What will be the consequences? What will be the outcome? How will people respond to that? The difficulty and the hardship doesn't need to be explained. The inconvenience that people throughout the world would experience is something that each one of us understands. But respected friends and elders, that is the shine, that is the noor of the sun. If that goes still 2 weeks perhaps, it's not so serious. But if the shine of one's eye, the light of the eye goes, Allahu Akbar, then we find it is even more serious. Now the person cannot differentiate, he cannot discern between a stick and a snake. He cannot make the difference between harm and benefit. He cannot make the difference between water and poison. He doesn't have sight how much of taklif and how much of problem the man is put through. Respected friends and elders, that also could be tolerated. But if the shine of the heart goes, Allahu Akbar, then everything goes and everything is lost. Now we find it is so serious that the hadith makes mention that the man would not differentiate between his father and his friend. وَأَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ He would bring his friend closer to him and he'll distance his father. He'll honor his friend and he'll disrespect his father. وَأَطَاعَ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ He will honor his wife and he'll bring dishonor to his mother. وَلَانَ آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا And the latter of this ummah, when adab is lost, the shine of the heart, the shine of iman goes, then the latter of this ummah will no longer look up to the former. The sahaba radiallahu anhum, the illustrious sahaba, companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will become targets of abuse. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَالْتَمِسُوا That O my Sahaba, with such signs become evident on the Ummah, then await at that time, رِيحًا حَمْرَى وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَصْفًا وَمَسْخًا وَقَصْفًا وَآيَاتٍ تُتَابِعُ Such signs will manifest on the Ummah, that people will be swallowed in the ground, raining stones will be rained from the skies, people's faces will be disfigured. And such signs will be manifest. It is when the shine of the heart, respected friends, is lost, then everything is lost. And when the shine is there, then everything is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, that those who respect and honor the salient aspects of deen, then indeed it is a sign of the piety of the heart. That indeed the person is treading the right path and Allah is pleased with him inevitably. One incident for us to appreciate this ayat kareema, where Allah ta'ala mentioned that those who honor, those who revere, those who respect the salient aspects and features of deen. For example, the azan. It is mentioned in the zamana of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, there was one person. And he had ta'alluq with this great sheikh, this muhaddis, this great faqih, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah. And Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, for those who know, he was such a great buzrug that 6 months of his life he would devote to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 6 months of his life he would devote to fighting in the path of Allah in jihad. And the third 6 months he would continue to rotate it in this way. The third 6 months he would be in commerce and trade. And again he would continue this rotation. 6 months, 6 months and 6 months. In this way, this was his tarteeb of his life. He was such a great buzrug. The works of deen that he had left for the ummah is something that the ulama speak about. When Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah passes away, a person sees him in the dream. And he asked him that how did Allah fare with you? Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah says, Alhamdulillah, Allah had forgiven me. But then he mentions, but my neighbor had surpassed me and he's gone far ahead, I couldn't reach him. And he was my woodcutter, my neighbor the woodcutter. When the one who had seen this khab, the following morning he rushed to the house to go and make investigations, to go and inquire that what was the action of this woodcutter that was so pleasing in Allah's court, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with the position higher than Abdullah bin Mubarak also. So when he mentioned his dream to the wife of the woodcutter, then she mentions that, Abdullah bin Mubarak kaha, where was Abdullah bin Mubarak and where was my husband? There is no match whatsoever. How is it that my husband could have surpassed Abdullah bin Mubarak? It's practically impossible. For my understanding, it's something I cannot understand. And then he says that, nay, it is a dream I was shown. It is a true dream. And it seemed that he had surpassed Abdullah bin Mubarak also. What was the action? Ponder, think closely. So the wife says that, yes, there were two actions in the life of my husband that I used to like. Perhaps Allah also liked it. And then she explains, she says, that whenever the call of the azan used to be made, Allahu Akbar, wherever his axe was, if his axe was in the front, he would drop it. If his axe was at the back, he would drop it. He wouldn't go for the second strike also. And he would mention, my Allah is calling me. Whole day I gave to the dunya. My Allah is calling me. How can I not answer the call of my Allah? He honored the azan so much, Allah honored him also. And she says that at the latter portion of the night, sometimes his eyes used to open. He wasn't tahajjud guzar, but sometimes his eyes used to open and he would hear the echoes of zikr, the echoes of ahadith, the halqas of ta'lim and hadith. The great awliya that are all sitting and teaching the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody in dua, somebody in zikr, and he used to cry and he used to say that, oh my wife, I don't have the ability and I don't have the time to spare for deen. That whole day I also could be occupied in deen. I have to go and earn for my livelihood. I have to go and earn for my family. But oh my wife, if Allah had honored me and Allah had given me that ability and tawfiq, wealth and time, I also would have sacrificed my life. How Abdullah bin Mubarak is sacrificing his life. With these tears in his eyes, he should cry. And she says, perhaps Allah loved this action so much. Mu'tani rahmatullah alayhi says that this was khali hasrat. There was no action that was coupled with it. But it was so beloved in Allah's sight that he honored the ulama and he felt himself nothing. That if I could have been like them, I would have been like them, but I could not match them, and I could not be like them. Allah loved this action so much that this became the fesla of his success in the akhirat. Similarly, we find, respected friends, the month of Ramadan is about to dawn upon us. Respect for this month is so important, it is vital in the life of a mu'min. Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi, great wali and buzrug, we have perhaps heard his name time and again. It is mentioned that there was one Lalaji, one Hindu who lived in his time. They used to call them Lalajis in India. And this Lalaji's whole life, he lived on kufr. He was a Hindu. And he passes away. And Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi sees him in the dream. So Mawlana asks him that, how is your condition? So he says, Allah has forgiven me. So Mawlana was shocked. He says, but your whole life you led on kufr. You died on kufr. How is it that Allah Ta'ala had honored you and Allah forgave you? He says, nay. He says, prior to my death, it was about 2 days. And Allah Ta'ala had given me tawfiq to embrace Islam. And then he says, then Mawlana must I explain to you on what action Allah accepted me. He says that it was in the month of Ramadan, I found my son eating in the open. And I took exception to this and I slapped him on his face. And I told him, what is wrong with you? Don't you know it is the holy month of the Muslims? Why can't you respect this month? It was that action Allah loved so much, that his whole life was on kufr. But we find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to the end of his life, Allah gave him iman and Allah took him to paradise. Allahu Akbar. Respecting the azan, respecting the month of Ramadan, respecting the Quran Kareem, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how important it is. The waqi of Bishr Hafi rahimahullah is famous, that in his initial condition, in his initial stages of his life, he was a drunkard. He was a person, a perpetual drinker. And the latter condition of his life, when he became a wali, Allah honored him so much. Allahu Akbar. That one wali in his zamana mentioned to him, that tell me, on account of what action did Allah give you so much of respect? That your name is being taken everywhere, like how the name of Anbiya are taken, your name is taken like this. You must be the action that Allah loved so much, that Allah gave you so much of respect in society and amongst the people. Bishr Hafi Rahimullah explains, he says, yes, my whole life at the beginning, I used to drink, I was a perpetual drinker. And one day, I was walking and I had found on the side of the road, there was the name of Allah that was just thrown. And I picked up this name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I looked at it, my Allah's name is on it. And he took that, he says, I only had 2 dirhams in my pocket. I had taken this and I had gone to purchase itar. For 2 dirhams, whatever I purchased, whatever I had, I purchased the itar. And I put that itar on the name of Allah. I honored and respected Allah's name. I took it home and I put it on the highest place I could find. And he says, he goes to sleep. And in the dream we find that he was being told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him to the dream, saying, oh Bishr Hafi, you honored our name, we'll honor you in this world and the akhirat. Oh Bishr Hafi, you honored our name, we'll honor you in this world and in the hereafter. Allah bestowed him with such izzat and such respect. That great, great awliya, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, used to sit in his company. Allah. It is mentioned Sulaiman, one great muhaddis of his zamana. Once he was traveling and it began to rain. And it began not just to rain, but it began to pour. And he had many, many ahadith kitabs in his hand. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was an open maidan and there was no place to take shelter. And in his heart of hearts he thought that if I try to rush to my destination, then the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get wet with the rain. And there's no place for shelter. So out of the love and respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ahadith, we find that he bows down and he shields and covers the ahadith of Rasulullah sallam with his back. And he allowed the whole night to pass. The whole night passed and it rained and rained and rained until in the morning he was soaking wet, but the words of Rasulullah sallam didn't get wet. When he passes away, someone sees him in a dream and they ask him, how did Allah favor you? Allah made my maghfirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on account of this action, Allah was so pleased with me, Allah made my maghfirat. Respected friends, many a time we feel that why should we respect our parents? Why should we respect the ulama? Why should we respect the awliya of Allah? What good do they have that we don't have? We also insan and they also insan. Nay, the difference between we and them, they're insan, but their connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given them the position that they are worthy of respect. That their life they have devoted for deen, that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with us if we also are pleased with them and revere them. Shaykh Fakhruddin rahimahullah, a very great wali and buzruq, the Shaykhul Hadith of Darulum Dioband, it is mentioned that once he had gone to the well to make wuzu, and in India, if you know, then there are many, many wells there. You pull out the water and you make your wuzu. So Mulana had gone to make wuzu, and next to him was one old person, very old man. And this person was totally illiterate. He didn't have any taluk with deen. He didn't know of deen too much. And he was making wuzu with water that wasn't, it had a good taste, or the water was such that his water he could make wuzu with. And he could make out that Mulana was making wuzu with the water, and the water was very bitter. And in his heart he felt that this is the friend of Allah, I must honor him and respect him. Immediately when Mulana was not looking, he quickly swapped the buckets. He took Mulana's bucket and he gave Mulana his bucket, and Mulana completed his wuzu. It was just but days that passed by and he passed away. The old man who had no wasta with deen whatsoever, totally illiterate, he had perhaps nothing to his credit that we could have looked upon or spoken about. Somebody sees him in the dream and asks him, how did it fare with you? He said, Allah made my maghfirat. They asked him, on account of what? What action was that action Allah loved? He says, the water that I had given to Mulana. That water that I had given to this wali and buzru, I honored him and I respected him. Allah was so happy with this action. Respected friends, outwardly it was nothing of deen. It was no namaz, it was no roza, but it was just that he honored the alim of deen. Allah honored him also. Mahmud Ghaznavi rahimahullah, the king of his zamana, it is mentioned that once he came in contact with an alim, and the alim he came in contact with, he respected that alim to such an extent. He was a king. As far as outward condition was concerned, he didn't need to respect the alim. What he possessed, the alim didn't even possess perhaps 1-5% of it. But nay, he showed honor to the friend of Allah. And where that alim walked, he walked behind the alim. And he walked 7 steps behind him. The alim was so pleased with him. He made dua from the bottom of his heart. And that was the time when Allah accepted the dua. He says that you have honored me. You have walked 7 steps behind me. Allah will honor you. That for 7 generations, kingdom will remain in your progeny. And it is mentioned that 7 generations pass, that honor, respect, reverence and kingdom remained in his progeny. So respected friends, this is deen. When a person has adab, as Mulana mentioned, then in the court of Allah, he is acceptable. When this adab will leave his heart, will leave his life, then the beauty of iman also will leave. And we find the outward condition of the person and the inward condition of the person, both will be 2 different things. Outwardly, you could perhaps look at a person, you'll think he's wearing kurta also. You'll look at him, he's performing tahajjud also. But he dishonors the ulama. He speaks against deen. Allahu Akbar. In the court of Allah, this person, His situation only Allah knows. For us to understand, to get a glimpse, there was once an alim who lived in the holy city of Makkah Mukarramah. He was a very pious person. He was so pious, he was tahajjud guzar. He performed his 5 times salah in Masjid-e-Haram. The ulama had looked up to him. He frequented the majalis of the pious also. People could perhaps not point a finger at the man. Mu'amalat was intact. Mu'asharat was to the T. Allahu Akbar. And the man passes away. His family members, the ulama, the people of Makkah Mukarrama, out of respect for this alim, they take the body and the person is buried. And it so happened that few days had passed that one of his family members passed away, and they decided that the same qabr he was buried in, they will redig the qabr and they will bury this family member. So when they decided, it was just few days that passed, when the grave was redug, they found to their surprise, to their shock and consternation, that who was lying in the qabr of that alim was no longer the alim, but it was a white European girl. Those who were around at the time when the grave was being dug, amongst the family members, the ulama, the residents of Makkah Mukarramah, there was one outsider. Maybe we could perhaps consider this to be something of coincidence, but in the sight of Allah, it was not. So this person, he was a professor from another country, and he looks closely at the face of this white girl, and he says that this face of this girl is very familiar. I had taught this girl in one of the universities in France. And he says that she was a non-believer, but the unique aspects of Islam had dawned upon her, and she took a liking for Islam. In specific, she loved the purity, the chastity of Islam. The veil, the parda, was something that attracted her. Allahu Akbar. And she embraces Islam. But because of circumstances, she could not reveal her Islam. Her parents, nobody knew about it. And he says that I taught this girl, she was a very pious girl. But it so happened few days ago, she passed away. And she also was buried in one of the kafir qabristans in France. In a kafir land. Allahu Akbar. So from the description that he had given the ulama, those who were present mentioned to him, that what you just explained of the girl, perhaps it was on account of her good actions, Allah had transported her body from there to the holy city of Makkah. But the second part of the puzzle seems to be unsolved, that if this is the situation of the girl, her body is here, what about the alim? Where is his body? So they mentioned to this professor, when you go back to France, you must make investigations, inquiries, where she's buried, and you must go and redig the grave. And you must see that who is buried there. So he goes back, and when the grave was redug, they found the body of that alim in that grave. Allahu Akbar. Indeed, the ulama were worried. It brought great concern, imani concern. They had gone to the wife of this alim. As we know, the one who knows the husband best is the wife. And they mentioned to the wife, they tell us, was your husband an impious person? Did he do anything wrong? She says, my husband was very pious. He did everything in conformance to deen. In conformity to deen, there was not a finger we could point on him. She said, nay, think properly. There had to be something wrong for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put his body there. And then his wife says, yes, there was one thing that was not right in my husband. Whenever we used to have relations together, and it was the time for him to make farz ghusl, then often he would make the statement and utterance that how nice is the Christian religion, ghusl is not farz on them. Islam, we have to undertake the trouble to make ghusl. And he liked this action of Christianity, and he showed disrespect to one command of Allah. Respected friends, it is so serious that this was the outcome of the man, his whole life, how he led. But on account of this one action, we find he's being taken to task. Again, we find the shine of the heart, the shine of iman. So we cannot judge on the basis of a person's actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge. If we feel we are pious, nay, who knows in the court of Allah what is our condition? We will have to do every action and feel and think that we are nothing. We have to honor and respect every hukam of Allah, no matter that it goes against the grain. Respected friends and elders, it's something for us to take cognizance. It is for us to think of the fact that many a time these statements come on our tongues. These utterances often we hear in society. A person will say, in this time and age, what the ulama are talking of? To run your life, you need the bank. You have to deal in interest. It is something that we just have to do. We're not in ancient times. Now we're talking of the 20th century, 21st century. This is modern day technologies. And such utterances we begin to make. Insurance we have to take out. Na'udhu billah, what Allah had declared haram, we are justifying it. What's haram is haram. If you do the haram, then you should consider yourself a criminal in Allah's court. But never should we justify any of the wrong that we're doing. In the 26th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, a whole surah was revealed on adab. Allahu Akbar, whole surah. And if we study the Qur'an-i-Kareem by the ulama, then we would understand the beauty of deen. And wallah, we will appreciate the ulama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the zamana of the Nabi of Allah, there was an occasion where sahaba mashwara was being made on a certain aspect. And it so happened that the voices were raised in the Mubarak company of the Nabi of Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's voice was raised. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's voice was raised. Sahaba's voices were raised. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayat. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Before the Nabi of Allah, speak with respect. Don't raise your voice and speak. Honor the Nabi of Allah in speaking before him with high tones. Indeed, this goes against the respect of the Nabi of Allah. And the ayat continues, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالجهر كقول بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. How you converse amongst yourselves, do not speak to the Nabi of Allah in the very like. Fear, if you ever have to be disrespectful to the Nabi of Allah, your actions will be obliterated and wiped off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out all your actions and you will not even perceive it also. You will be not even aware of the fact that in Allah's court you are dropped to the lowest of the low and yet you are unaware. Allahu Akbar. A man in his business, he's running his shop, and he feels that he is doing wonders, he feels he's prosperous, he feels that his business is running very, very well, and yet the man end of the month is going to close down. What we would say of that person? We'll say, better was he if he knew he's going to close down than not knowing. Respected friends, here we are conducting before the ulama, before the pious, before deen, in the manner that we feel appropriate that we should conduct, not in the manner that deen wants us to. We feel we are pious in the court of Allah. How low we have fallen, we don't know. In one riwayat, it is mentioned, the riwayat of Muwatta Imam Malik, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person will make an utterance. He would not know the consequences of that utterance. From the lowest of the low will take him to the highest of the high. It will be an utterance that Allah will love him. And Allah will give him position in the court of Allah. And on the other hand, the person will make an utterance. He will not understand the consequences of that utterance. In the court of Allah, this will be held against him. He will fall from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. The riwayat says, to the depths of Jahannam he will fall and he won't even know it. Allahu Akbar. This tongue, how we use this tongue. Respecting the ulama, respecting sahaba, Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned, Allama Mustaghfiri rahimahullah in Dalail al-Nubuwa, he quoted an incident. Very, very ajeeb incident. He said that there were three people who were traveling. And these three people, they were traveling and they were going to Yemen. On the way, on the journey, they met up with a certain person. And that person joined them on the journey. They're all moving together. So, this person began to revile the Sahaba. They began to speak against Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anh, abusing Abu Bakr, na'uzu billah, and Umar radiallahu anh. And these three people mentioned that do not revile, do not swear, do not abuse the Sahaba. They were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the man paid no heed. It is mentioned that that night they had gone to sleep. In the morning when he had woken up, these three people woke up, it was the time of Fajr Salah. They told him that make wuzu, we are about to perform our Fajr Salah, you can join us also. He mentioned to him that I had seen a khab last night. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very upset with me and angered with me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chased me out and mentioned that when this is how you speak of my sahaba, reviling and abusing my sahaba, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change and disfigure you to the figure of an ape, to a monkey. And he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed me like this. I don't think I can perform wuzu with you people and perform namaz. And then those three people mentioned that we looked at him and we found that his hands began to change. His face began to change. And his whole body was disfigured. He became an ape. He became a monkey. We were shocked. We didn't know what to do with him. We put him on the camel and we continued on the journey. And until that we came part of the jungle where there were many, many monkeys there. So he broke loose and he went and he joined up with all the monkeys. This was the consequences of this person. Allahu Akbar. Allama Tabari rahimahullah mentioned an incident in the kitab Riyadun Nafara. And he says that in one zamana, there was a certain group of Halb, a group of Rawafiz, Rafzis, Shias, and they spoke against Abu Bakr and Umar, against the Sahaba. So they brought many gifts, a lot of wealth they brought, and they brought it to Medina Munawwara. And the leader of Medina Munawwara, who was the Amir, who was the king of the time, they put it before him and they began to bribe him and they began to buy him off. They told him that, we brought all these gifts for you, but we want the body of Abu Bakr and Umar, na'uzubillah. That when everybody will leave the Haram Mubarak, at that time nobody will be there, then we will dig up the graves of Abu Bakr and Umar and we will take their bodies and get rid of it. They are not fit to sleep with Rasulullah sallam, na'uzubillah. And this is the disrespect they showed. So that king, out of the love of the world, he bought the story and he was happy. He was happy to do this certain, to allow them to do this. And he commanded the Darban, he commanded the gatekeeper of the Masjid-e-Haram, or Masjid-e-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when these 40 men are going to come, then you must not tell them anything, you must allow them in. And when they come in, you must lock the doors, so that nobody sees. So he says that this Darban, he was just working the gatekeeper. He said that night they came in, 40 men came in with the tools to dig and everything. And he says that I was alone and I knew that what they're going to do and I was helpless, I couldn't do anything. It was an instruction from the Amir, there was nobody that I could complain to now. It was the Amir commanding this. He says that go on in the side of the masjid and I sat down and I began to cry. I weep profusely and I cried and I cried and I cried. Oh Allah! Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Their bodies, they're going to take it now. And he says, in front of my sight I found, when these 40 men had reached the minbar in the Mubarak Masjid of Rasulullah sallam, the minbar or the mihrab of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, the minbar, at that time the ground opened and swallowed them up. And all the tools were lying on the top. It was time when the Amir was still awaiting these people, no news, so he called the Darban. The Darban told him exactly what happened. He didn't believe the story. He said, come for yourself and I will show you. This is how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala treats those who disrespect the Sahaba. Last few ahadith. It is mentioned the riwayat of Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم احضروا فحضرنا. Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu says that once the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had come in his Mubarak masjid and he ascended the minbar. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar, the Nabi of Allah mentioned, oh my sahaba, come close to the minbar. Fahadarna. So the sahaba came close. The sahabi says, فَلَمَّا ارْتَقَى دَرْجَةً قَالَ آمِينَ فَلَمَّا ارْتَقَى الدَّرْجَةَ الثَّانِيَ قَالَ آمِينَ فَلَمَّا ارْتَقَى الدَّرْجَةَ الثَّالِثَ قَالَ آمِينَ The Nabi of Allah, he took the first step on the minbar and he mentioned Ameen. On the second step, he ascended the minbar, he said Ameen. And the third step, he ascended, he said Ameen. The sahaba radiallahu anhum was shocked. It was something that they did not notice from the Nabi of Allah prior to this. So the sahabi says, فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَدْ سَمِعَنَا مِنْكَ الْيَوْمِ شِيَنْ مَا كُنَّا نَسْمَعُهُ O Nabi of Allah, today we heard you making mention of something. Prior to this, we never saw you mentioning something like this. O Nabi of Allah, what was the hikmat and the wisdom behind it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ حَضَرَ لِي Jibreel alayhi salatu salam aradali came before me. And Jibreel alayhi salatu salam mentioned, Ba'uda man adraka Ramadan falam yughfar lahu. Faqultu ameen. Jibreel alayhi salatu salam cursed that servant who the month of Ramadan comes and the month of Ramadan goes. And he persists on sin. He allows Ramadan to come and Ramadan to go. He disrespects the month of Ramadan and he continues to sin. And disobey Allah. Jibreel alayhi salatu salam says, may Allah's curse be on such a servant. And the Nabi of Allah says, Ameen. When I took the second step, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam mentioned, Ba'uda man zukirta indahu falam yusalli alayk faqultu Ameen. May the curse of Allah be on that banda, that when your name is taken before him, he doesn't say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, rather say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah's curse be upon such a person. And I said, Ameen. And the third step that I took on the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam mentioned, Ba'uda man adraka abuwayya wahadahuma inda al-kibar falam yudkhilahu al-jannah. He meets his parents in old age and he does not serve his parents. Thus he does not enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. Respected friends, this whole hadith is a hadith of adab. Respect of Ramadan, respect for the Nabi of Allah, and respect for one's parents. How important it is to respect one's parents that we find today is not found. It is mentioned in one zamana, there was one person who lived in the land of India. In some remote village he lived. And he grew of age, and he qualified, he graduated, he got a certain position, and he got a good job. His parents were very, very happy for him. And after some time, after he got his job, he wished to look for a girl, a suitable partner to get married. So he found that in the city there was a girl to his liking, and he decided to marry her. But remembering his parents, he had to take their blessings. So he comes to his parents, and he makes mention of the girl, the family, and he asks his parents that, are you happy? But we know, respected friends, that the parents only love the good for the children. They always look at the welfare of their children. So these were good parents. So the parents mentioned, Beta, if it pleases you, it pleases us. If you're happy, then we are happy. And they allowed him, they gave him their blessings and they allowed him to get married. He gets married to this girl. And from the first day, she began to make demands on him. She began to make demands, saying to him that it's either me or your mother. It's either me or your father. And he put up with this. She made demands that I do not want you to go and visit your parents often. But in spite of all the difficulties on the path, he put up with all this. He still honored and respected his parents. And he had gone time and again to go and visit his parents, taking gifts for them and honoring them. But life continued, a time came where he was promoted, he was given a higher position, and his business his company wished to post him to Jeddah. A better position, better money, everything better, lucrative benefits. So now everything seems rosy on the top. His wife was over the moon, she was very happy. This will be the last time, I think, my husband now will get him away from his parents. I will cut him off from his parents. But he goes to his parents and he says, ma, oh my mother, oh my father, that this is what business job I was offered, and this is the benefits, and this is, what do you have to say? Everything seems looking good on. So the parents say that beta, if it pleases you, it pleases us. If you see your taraqi and your progress in this line, then take our blessings and go. And the son now, he goes, he takes his wife and he goes to Jeddah. And every time he wants to come to India, his wife doesn't allow him. He sees so many people, musafirin, coming and going. Give them money. Your parents will be alright. You don't need to go and see them. And in this way, she totally cut him off from his parents. 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. Until 13 years passed like this. He had never seen his parents, but those who came by, he heard, how is my mother? How is my father? 13 years. He lived in Jeddah, close to the holy city of Makkah Mukarrama. He was honored, he was endowed with performing Hajj every year. 13 years he stayed there, 13 Hajjs he performed. But it was one day after the Hajj, Mawsam, after the Hajj was over, that he was sitting in the Hatim and he was crying profusely. A great wali of Allah had seen him. So that Buzruk noticed that there was something that was worrying this banda. And definitely he was perturbed, he was disturbed by something. And out of concern for his Muslim brother, he waited for him to complete his dua. And he mentioned that, oh young son, what is it? Why are you crying like this? You got a problem, can I assist? So he mentioned that, my problem is, for 13 years I've performed Hajj. And every year when the rituals of Hajj would be over, and the following night after Hajj, I see a dream every year. And in the dream I am told that your Hajj is not accepted. Your Hajj is not accepted in our court. Every year, it's been 13 years and I see this dream. I'm crying because of this. This Buzruk knew there was something wrong here. He told him that, tell me, did you do somebody down? Did you hurt somebody? Were you cruel to somebody? Have you got any problems that you have hurt somebody? So he explains himself and he says, this is my whole life story, that my wife always remained as an obstacle and impediment to my parents. 13 years I couldn't see my mother's face, my father's face. The Buzruk says, this is the reason. Your parents are displeased with you. How can Allah be pleased with you? Go now, make means, and go to India and go and meet your parents and go and take their duas. Immediately he sets off. He comes to his wife and he says to his wife, I'm going to India. Those days they had to travel by ship. His wife again began to moan and groan, but now he realized and he says, nay, it's either you or my parents. I'm going to give you talaq if you're going to continue like this. When she realized that he was serious now, then she allowed him to go forward and she says that I allow you to go. Immediately he rushes and he goes. And he comes by ship, whatever period it took him when he come to India. And as he comes, he continues, he makes suffer when he comes to his village. On the outskirts of the village, he meets one person, it's been 13 years. He's like a stranger coming home. And he mentions to that person, where is the house of so and so person, referring to his father. He didn't say he was my father, he says, where is the house of so and so. This person says, but it's just been few days now he passed away. He passed away. And that person says, and what type of son does that man have? The only son, they only got one son. And 13 years, he was neglectful towards his parents. He neglected his parents. He never worried about his mother and father. Now his father passed away and the son even doesn't know about it. With tears in his eyes, he never mentioned, he felt hard to say, I was that son, man. And then he goes towards the house and he enters the house. His mother was on her deathbed. She was weak. She was old. There was nobody to take care of her. And her eyes were closed and she was uttering some words. He put his ears near her and he hears. She's crying, oh Allah, my husband passed away, oh Allah. But I only have one son. Oh Allah, my son is in Jeddah. Oh Allah, send that son. And then he says, Ma, I'm here. And his mother opens her eyes and she embraces him. And she's so happy to meet him. And she lives a few days and she passes away. He buries her. And then he goes back to Jeddah. He has to go back home. And that year he performs Hajj. And the day after Hajj he sees a khab. And he's being told that your Hajj has been accepted this year. And the 13 years before we have accepted that also. Respected friends, respect for parents we don't understand. Allah must give us tawfiq to respect our parents, our grandparents. We don't know how long they'll be amongst us, how long they'll live. And respected friends, the last waqia, inshallah, before I end. It's not only our parents, our elders, the ulama. Nay. Every servant of Allah has a respect. We must honor every banda, every servant of Allah we must honor. It is reported in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that even when a person is hurt, he's oppressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily answers the dua of the oppressed. At that time when his heart is crying, and if he has to curse you, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the dua makes Allah's arsh shake also. The arsh of Allah comes into motion. There is no hijab between the oppressed person and Allah. The riwayat says, walau bikafirin, even if he's a kafir also, he's still Allah's servant. Every banda of Allah has a position in Allah's court. Akhir may is Allah's servant. He's not our servant. We must look at him with the sight. He has a position. We have to speak with respect towards him. Inshallah, one last incident. It is mentioned in one zamana in the land of Balkh. They lived, the husband and wife, and they had three daughters. They lived a very happily life. People honored them, revered them. They had position in society. And life continued till taqdeer intervened and the husband passed away. And because there was nobody to take care of the woman, his wife and the daughters, it was now an issue of wealth, money. Who's going to look after? They became now, they were no longer looked at an asset in society. Now they were looked upon as a burden. Allahu Akbar. People now looked at them with a different sight. They began to ridicule, to mock. They began to make remarks that were displeasing and hurting to them. Disparaging comments. Allahu Akbar. Until the woman, living in oppression and listening to all the disparaging, sad remarks that people make, she decided to take her three daughters and leave the town. She had no wealth, she has nothing, and she takes her daughters and she leaves. She says, perhaps we'll go to the next town, people will honor us there. When they reached the next town, it was a cloudy day, it was a very cold day. So she takes her daughters and she mentions to her daughters that we don't have food and nor do we have shelter. But I will take you to the house of Allah. I will take you to the masjid and I'll keep you there till I go and look for some assistance. I'll look for somebody who can render us some assistance. And she leaves her daughters there and she goes. A mother who has nobody to support her. She was oppressed by her people. In this very, very sad plight, she goes. And she walks in the town, and on one side of the town she sees that there was a Muslim sheikh with a large congregation around him. He was preaching. He was informing them and teaching them deen. He outwardly seemed to be a very pious sheikh. And on the other side of the town there was another halqa, but that was a halqa of Majus fire worshippers. And the fire worshipper, their leader was amongst them. So in her heart the thought had come that I rather go to a Muslim than went to a kafir. Then a Muslim has iman, he will honor me. Allahu Akbar. And she goes and she speaks to this Muslim sheikh. When the majlis was over and people had scattered, she had gone to him and she put her plea before him. She put her cry before him and she told him, please help me for the sake of Allah, help me. And she says that I come from a very honored, respected family. It's just that because my husband passed away, this is the circumstances that I'm faced with. Please, for the sake of Allah, help me. That alim, that buzrug, that sheikh, he mentioned to her, what? You say you're a pious woman, honored, respected family. Where's your proof? How can I just believe you? Get away from here, man. Just go away from here. And her heart was broken. And her eyes, tears flowed from her eyes. Until she was forced to go to the Majus, the fire worshipper. She had gone to him and she cried before him. She told him, this is my condition. Please help me. I had gone to the Muslim sheikh, but this is how he rejected me. He dishonored me. This is how he hurt my heart. Please, can you help me? This Majus, he was a non-believer. He was a disbeliever. But he said, don't worry, I will look after you. He commands his family to take this woman, to go and take her daughters from the masjid, take them home. Burn the fireplace and keep them warm. Give them the food that we eat and clothe them with our clothes also. Give them a place, their own room in our house. Honor them and revere them. They are our mihman. Allahu Akbar. That night, the Muslim Shaykh, he sees a dream. That he sees Jannat before him, the castles of paradise. He sees the different ummats there, and he sees Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the banner of Islam. And all those behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he asks somebody, who is that? He says, that's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And who is behind him? That's all the ummatis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where are they going? They're going to Jannat. Nabi Sallam is taking them. He says, I'm also an ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He rushes and he goes and he touches Nabi Sallam on the back. Oh Nabi of Allah, oh Nabi of Allah, I'm your ummati also. Can I also join? Can I also come to Jannat? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, you claim to be my ummati. Where's your proof? How can I just believe you like this? And Nabi Sallam turns his face away from him. Allah. Respected friend, that person who the Nabi of Allah turns his face, how sad for that person. Nabi Sallam turns his face away. Nabi Sallam says, where's your proof? And turns, immediately his eyes open and he realized how he treated that woman. This is how Allah is treating him. This is how Rasulullah Sallam will treat him. And he runs helter-skelter around the town looking for the whereabouts of this woman. People say she's by the Majus. He goes there, he knocks and he says, I'll give you anything. 10,000 dirhams I'll give you. I'll give you anything. Give me this woman. The Majus says that you saw the dream and then you came. I also saw the dream last night. Rasulullah Sallam promised me the gardens of paradise, the castles, everything that you saw, Nabi Sallam promised me. And then he says, and you are perhaps astounded that I'm a kafir. Nay. Last night before going to sleep, I accepted and embraced Islam on the hands of this woman. And that is why Nabi Sallam is so happy with me and pleased with me. You can give me anything, I'm not willing to part with this woman. Respected friends and elders, this is where adab takes us. The shine of Iman, the shine of Islam is in respecting every person, every aspect of deen without causing inconvenience and taklif to anybody. We make dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice on what was said and bring in our hearts and our lives the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala be pleased with us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم افتح لنا من خير واختم لنا من خير واجعل عواقب أمورنا من خير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of the day. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of the night. Oh Allah, forgive the whole ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, whatever we have heard on the topic of adab and respect, Ya Allah, make it a reality for us. Oh Allah, grant us the respect of the ulama. Grant us the respect of our mashayikh. Grant us the respect of our parents. Grant us the respect of this masajid and all the masajid of the world. Make the masajid, this masjid and all the masajid the wal abad with the aman of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, grant us the respect of the Quran. O Allah, grant us respect of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. O Allah, take us forth into Ramadan with your blessings and mercy. O Allah, make it easy for us to fulfill the rites of the month of Ramadan. O Allah, make it easy for us to respect the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to respect the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu majma'een, to respect our awliya ikram. O Allah, make it easy for us to even respect our wives and our children. children. Oh Allah, make it easy for us to respect the rights of the fellow Muslims, even non-Muslims, even the animals. Oh Allah, make it easy for us so that we become ambassadors of Islam, torchbearers of Islam. Oh Allah, make it easy for us to learn and practice on the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And whatever disrespect we have shown to anybody, if it's huququl ibad, make it easy for us to ask for forgiveness, and you forgive us our shortcomings. Oh Allah, you forgive us our shortcomings. All those who have requested for du'as, Ya Allah, fulfill their permissible needs. All those who are sick, give them shifa. All those who have passed away, fill the qabr with noor. Give sabra jameel, ajri azim to their family members. Oh Allah, let our dying moments come in Medina Tayyiba with the recitation of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those who are gone for Umrah, accept the Umrah. All those who are intending for Umrah in the month of Ramadan, make it an easy and accepted one. Oh Allah, make it easy for us to visit the Haramain Sharifain. Protect the Haramain Sharifain from the evil forces. Oh Allah, liberate Masjidul Aqsa. Oh Allah, free the people of Palestine. Help the mujahideen throughout the world. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafiyyina maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma barik lana fil mawti wa fima ba'd al-mawt. Innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.